Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As is our habit, would you read together with me the title of our sermon today, The Prophet of Persecution. Based on our gospel reading we just read, especially these verses, they brought to the Pharisees him who was formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. I invite you to follow the sermon outline that's been provided for you in your handout as we consider the prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T, the prophet of persecution. Years ago in the famous and enjoyable TV comedy, All in the Family, husband Archie and wife Edith were going to Edith's high school reunion. And Edith meets there an old high school classmate named Buck. And Buck had allowed himself to become very, very overweight. Edith and Buck have a delightful conversation of all the fun they used to have during their school days. And remarkably, Edith didn't even notice how heavy Buck had become. Later, when Edith and Archie are talking by themselves, Edith turns to Archie and says, "Oh, Archie, ain't Buck a beautiful person?" Archie turns to Edith and says, "Edith, I'll never figure you out. We can look at the same guy, and you see a beautiful person, and all I see is a blimp." And Edith replies simply, "Yeah, ain't that too bad?" Yes, ain't that too bad? Pardon my grammar. Isn't that too bad the way the Pharisees saw and treated the healed blind man in our gospel reading for today? Here he was, a walking, talking, breathing miracle, and all they could see was this healed man was a threat to their status quo, to their self-righteous laws. Imagine today a man walking down the center aisle of this church who had been healed by our Lord Jesus Christ for the first time in his life. He could see a sunset, sunrise, the blue sky, his loved ones, and he wanted to tell us about him. But we say to him, "Sit down and be quiet. Don't you interrupt our worship service this morning." The Pharisees, that is the Jewish religious leaders, did not want to hear this healed man's testimony in their synagogue that day. So they excommunicated him. John 9:34 says, they said to him, "You were born utterly in sins, and you are trying to teach us," and they put him out. Now, what can we gain from this man's testimony? What is the profit of his persecution? Why were the Pharisees so upset about his healing? You see, they were really more upset with Jesus and what he did. But this man was caught in the middle of it. According to their interpretation, Jesus broke the Sabbath laws with his healing. You see, their legalistic teaching said this: it's okay to practice medicine on the Sabbath if a person's life is in danger. But it was forbidden to do something that just made someone feel or to get better, like putting cold water on a sprained ankle or treating a toothache. And since the blind man was in no danger of dying, Jesus, according to them, was guilty by being a Sabbath breaker. Remember that Jesus spit and made some clay out of some mud and put it on the man's eyes. Exodus 20 says this: 6 days you shall labor, but on the Sabbath you shall do no work. According to these Pharisees, Jesus broke the Sabbath law by working, mixing his spit with the mud to make clay for the man's eyes. Now, if you think this was picky, note that also some of the rules about the Sabbath said this: you could not carry a handkerchief from the top floor to the second floor of your house. Why? If you carried a handkerchief downstairs, you were guilty of working on the Sabbath. you also could not trim your fingernails or toenails on the Sabbath. That was working on the Sabbath. And according to them, Jesus' use of spit was also breaking the Sabbath. I'll read from the law book. As to using spittle, it is not lawful to put it on the eyelids. You see, Jesus, to use baseball terminology, was 0-for-3 in breaking their Sabbath regulations. He healed on the Sabbath. He worked by making mud, and he put spittle on the man's eyes. Such religious hypocrisy. Instead of rejoicing and praising God that this man for the first time in his life could see, the Pharisees were ticked off with what Jesus did. Now surely, did you catch the day Jesus did the healing? What day was it? The Sabbath. Certainly Jesus could have waited one more day to heal this man. This man had waited his entire life to see. He could have waited one more day. What's one more day to wait? But knowing our Lord Jesus, he likely purposely healed the man on the Sabbath to make a point in your face, Pharisees. Hypocrisy. They were ready to kill Jesus for healing this man. And later, these religious leaders were ready to have Jesus crucified. Aha! But his crucifixion had to be completed before sundown on Friday night. So by killing him, they didn't break the Sabbath law. Hypocrisy. As a blind beggar, this man had been of no interest to the Pharisees. They likely stepped over him and stepped around him to get into their synagogue. But now, this healed man could be used by them as a way to get to Jesus. So, to ask the question of our sermon title, what is the profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, of this man's persecution? In verse 15, we read, and they asked him again, tell us again, buddy. Let's hear it from the beginning so we can get something on Jesus. But by now, the second time around, this man's testimony is clear and right to the point. He says this, Jesus applied clay to my eyes. I washed. And I see. We can only imagine the rambling story he told to others, alluded to in the gospel reading earlier. There he was, he could say, there I was, by the city gate, my regular begging place for the last 10 years. There I was, a great place to get people's handouts and donations. There I was, and that day I got my regular quota. Even the baker that day gave me a loaf of day-old bread. There I was. I heard a big commotion. And people shouting out to this guy named Jesus. He likely went on like that for quite some time earlier. But now under persecution, his testimony is sharpened up. And he gets to what's most important. My friends, today, our Christian faith, our Christian testimony is under attack. Don't fool yourselves. Your Christian faith is ridiculed and disregarded in your schools, in your neighborhoods, in your workplace. And maybe your Christian faith is even ridiculed and disregarded in your own home. Whenever we have an opportunity, we have no time to ramble and go on and on. Every word counts. Regarding who Jesus is and what he has done for you. Under persecution, the faith of this blind man grew, and so can ours. Under the Pharisees' hostile cross-examination, did you note how the faith of this healed man grew? Listen to the progression in these verses about what the blind man said about Jesus. Verses 10 to 11, he said, he is a man named Jesus. Verse 17, he is a prophet. Verse 26, he is a teacher. worthy to have disciples. Verse 32, he is from God. Verse 35, Lord, I believe and I worship you. Opposition and persecution led this man to a growth in understanding and a growth in faith. He moved from Jesus is a guy I heard about to Jesus is my Lord I worship. Quick side note about one of the prophets of persecution. Can you guess in our world today where the church and the Christian faith is really growing? It's not in North America, where so many take the things of God for granted and are apathetic. The place in the world today where the church is growing and the Christian faith is growing is where the people of God are under persecution for their faith. There is a prophet in persecution. So what have we learned today about persecution, about prophet and giving testimony to our Lord Jesus? Note your sermon outline. We've learned, first of all, that conflict will come to those who testify about Jesus. Don't be surprised by it. Don't let it silence you. Because our Lord Jesus Christ will not abandon us in the conflict. The Pharisees kicked this healed man out of their synagogue. He was no longer welcome there. They probably ridiculed and disparaged him and made fun of him. But Jesus stood with him. And Jesus stood for him. In verse 35, we read, Jesus heard that they had put him out. And finding him, Jesus said, do you believe in me, the Son of Man? Jesus went to him, stood by his side, strengthened his faith so much that in verse 38, listen to what the blind man said. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. When faced with persecution or ridicule because of our testimony of Christ, our Lord will do for us what he did for this blind man. He will sharpen our testimony. He will deepen our faith. And our motivation for sharing our testimony of faith, just like the healed man, our only motivation is gratitude for what Jesus has done for us. Let me ask you, what has Jesus done for you? Just glance once again, as we do every Sunday, to the crucifix above our altar. See your Savior on that cross who died in your place to pay for your sins. Who died your death, defeated your devil, opened up the gates of heaven to you. Just this week, it was my rare privilege to join a lovely family in the hospital with their loved one and to speak the words of the gospel to this gentleman as well, the love of the Savior who died and rose for him. And one day when it is his time to welcome that man to heaven forever. Gratitude. That's why we say thanks to our Lord Jesus by telling others of his love for them and what he's done for us. Gratitude. Let me end this sermon today. Yes, I'm almost at the end, if you're timing. Let me end this sermon with a story about gratitude. Our sermon text was about a man born blind, and my final story, true story, is about a little boy who was blind. This blind boy's parents had heard about an eye surgeon at the Massachusetts General Hospital who had developed a new technique for a person with this boy's unique eye condition. As they packed for the long trip to the hospital, the boy tucked under his arm a tattered old teddy bear. You've seen the kind. One eye missing, stuffing coming out of a torn seam on the side, really in bad shape. But even at the hour of his surgery, the little boy had Teddy tucked under his arm. And the kind surgeon assured him that Teddy would receive the best of treatment while he, the young boy, was having his surgery. Sometime later, thank God, after successful surgery, the bandages were removed and the little boy, for his first time in his life, could see his mom and dad, could see the new set of clothes the kind surgeon had bought just for him to celebrate, could see his own beloved teddy bear. And when the surgeon came to his room for a follow-up visit, the little boy announced, "Doctor, I love you. I want to pay you for all you've done for me." And with a heart of gratitude, he placed into the surgeon's skilled hands his beloved teddy. The surgeon accepted that gift of gratitude with no reservation. And my friends, for some time after that, if you had gone to the 10th floor of the Massachusetts General Hospital, you could see the teddy bear. The surgeon had placed it under a glass case in the main hallway, and under the tattered bear was the surgeon's professional card, and under his card a handwritten note which reads, and I quote, "This is the highest fee I ever received for professional services rendered." My friends, the highest payment, the best thank you that any of us can give to our Lord Jesus Christ is to share with others what He has done for us. Dear Lord, help each of us here today to give the same testimony the healed blind man gave. Help us to say, "I once was blind, but now I see." In the name of Jesus, that is the prophet of persecution. Amen.